We're glad to have everyone with us. We appreciate your presence coming today to be part of us as we gather together in worship to our God. Sometimes as we live the Christian life, we Sometimes as we live the Christian life, we have questions that come up in our day-to-day worship, in our day-to-day life, and sometimes in our worship together. Questions that we try to go into the Bible and find the answer, and we can't always find a simple pat answer. Sometimes it's a question that takes a lot of thought, takes a lot of deeper study and reflection and thinking of different points of thought to try to come to the best conclusion, try to do what God would have us to do, to be pleasing to Him. And I think the question of Christmas is one of those questions that comes up as we come every year to this time of year. And think about that there is a celebration worldwide, really, throughout all countries. It seems to be a very popular thing. The celebration of December 25th as supposedly the birthday of Christ. And in that, many other practices, traditions have grown up around that, and some of them are biblical, some of them are not biblical. Some of them, if people say, well, why do we do this? I don't know. It's one of those things where many times traditions grow up and we begin to practice a certain thing and maybe not even understanding where that originally came from. And certainly whenever we think about the birth of Christ, it is such a wonderful thing that God sent His Son down here into the world, that He was willing to send His own Son to become flesh and to live here on this earth and to give His life. I mean, how can we ever fully appreciate that fact? And it's obviously very important as we look at the beginning of the Gospels in Matthew and Luke, talks about those events surrounding the birth of Jesus. But on the other hand, as we think about it, we find that as far as a celebration of the birth of Jesus, God never gave us that instruction. That it actually came about later through people of their own will wanting to do something to commemorate the birthday of Jesus. And so I'd like this morning to take just a little of time to raise the question that, are we missing the real message? What is the important thing that we all need to focus on? And not just this time of year, but in our life as a whole. Because the birth of Jesus is something that we celebrate in our own hearts all the time, or throughout the year, every day. Every day should be a day of being so thankful that God sent His Son into this world. this one day of year comes up every year, and we're reminded of the birth of Jesus. And it might be something that if it weren't for that, we might go months without actually thinking very much about it. We get involved, we get busy, and different things are going on. Every year around this time, it comes back, and our minds are reminded of Jesus, how he was born. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for his birth. But there is the question of, is that something that God himself commanded us or instructed us? Or is it of human origin? What should we participate as Christians? What is the proper way of thinking about the celebration of Christmas and the birth of Jesus and the other traditions that goes along with it in our mind? What is the history behind it? Well, I looked up some things to try to answer that question in my own satisfaction. And it was interesting. What I found is that in about the year 354 AD, that the Bishop of Jerusalem wrote a letter to the Bishop of Rome. And he wanted the Bishop of Rome, the question is, we're trying to find out when the birthday of Jesus happened. Because there are some of us that would like to have a celebration of that. And keep in mind, this is about 300 years after the time of the first century. It's not during the lifetime of any of the apostles. And the church has by this time gone into a state of apostasy as far as the biblical pattern of the elders of the church is concerned. They have divided up things into five patriarchates. Bishop of Jerusalem, Bishop of Rome, Bishop of Antioch, Constantinople, Alexandria. So none of that was biblical. And in the Bible, it warned that in those times that are coming, there are going to be some that are going to go astray from the faith, practicing things that the Lord did not teach. And we see that 300 years went by and that had begun to happen. And his question was, hey, we have people here who would like to start having a celebration every year, the birth of Jesus. What is the birth of Jesus? And the Bishop of Rome, after thinking about this, wrote back and he said, well, make it to be December 25th, the birth of Christ. Fact is, we don't know when the birth of Christ. He said, make it December 25th. And why December 25th? Well, the reason is interesting because that was the day that most of the pagan worshipers around Rome were worshiping some of the gods of the pagan gods. It's the shortest time of the year. It's the winter solstice. It's the time when the sun is the farthest of the angle from the earth. And in the pagan way of thinking, it is a time of worship to bring back the life, to bring back the God, to bring back the warmth of the earth. And so they had a lot of pagan ceremonies. It was called the Saturnalia, of the worship of Saturn, the planet Saturn, would come out and it would shine brightly sometimes that time of year. He said, make it December the 25th. That way, more people will start worshiping Jesus on that day and not so many worshiping according to the pagan gods and customs. that actually was how the beginning of December the 25th, as the birth of Jesus, began. And in the year 354, it was observed in the city of Rome. It passed from there to Jerusalem and some of the others. By the year 430, we're told, it was being practiced out in pretty much all of those areas. But it was a gradual thing as it began to spread. Associated with that was the giving of gifts sometimes, because the month of December was known as a festival time of the year, this short time that before the springtime would begin. And so sometimes there was a custom among the Romans of giving gifts to one another. There also was a practice of the evergreen wreath, because the evergreen is a way of life. It is a symbol of life. Later on, in some of the following centuries in England, there was a group known as the Druids. The Druids were a pagan worshippers also. They had adopted some of these customs by that time, and they began to practice putting up mistletoe and believing that there was some kind of a power in the mistletoe that was like a occultic power. About the year 1300, some people began putting up manger scenes at this time of year. And in the 1500s, Martin Luther took a custom that had been back in those early days among the pagans of cutting down a green tree, an evergreen tree from the forest, and bringing it in the home. Martin Luther decided that was a good idea, and he brought that in, and that was the beginning of the Christmas tree. In the 4th century, there had been a bishop living in Asia Minor whose name was St. Nicholas. He had a white beard, we're told, and he was well loved. And he began to, every year on December the 6th, he would dress up on his horse and he would go around through the town and he would put out little trinkets and gifts. And sometimes he would put wooden shoes on the doorstep for the kids that were good little boys and girls. If they weren't a good little boy and girl, sometimes he would leave a switch lying on the front doorstep. St. Nicholas also took stockings and hung them up in his house and put little presents in the stockings. A lot of these traditions picked up from different places and just kind of all came together over the years. Really, when we think about it, Christmas is a mess. It is a conglomeration of many different things that have very little to do with Christianity. But in there, as part of it, had grown up the thought that if we would take December the 25th and make that into a Christian celebration, maybe we could get less people going out and doing all these horrible pagan ceremonies and bring them over into a Christianized practice. So, many of us today, we don't think about any of that. We don't know any of those things that have happened, the history behind it. To us, it has become, in some ways, a fun time of year, a very special time where we give gifts to our family and our children. We gather together with friends and loved ones, And we have a very nice time that way. We go out and buy gifts for one another. It's a loving way of showing our love for each other. And we see these scenes of the manger, and so we're reminded of the birth of Jesus. And some churches have special services. Many churches do this to celebrate the birth of Jesus, which actually came about not because of anything that God instructed us to remember, but because someone thought that would be a good thing, and it grew up over the years. Is Christmas a holy day then? Well, no. The answer to that is very clear. And I think really when we open the Bible and begin to actually study the Bible, the answer to these questions is really pretty simple. It's something that we can all end up basically together and come out of it thinking, this is really the important thing that we need to gain from all of this. It's not something that we should be divided of one another. It's not something that we need to get into heated debates over and to have trouble among fellow Christians about. Is it a holy day? Well, there is no such holy days as far as Christians are concerned. And what we find that if we had been living in the first century, the question that Christians were struggling to find the answer was not when was the birth of Jesus and should we be celebrating that. Their question was, should we be keeping the Jewish holy days, the Sabbath, the Passover? And if you are a Jew, are you required to be keeping those ceremonies from the Old Testament to be a faithful Christian? And the apostles received clear revelation and they made it known, no, we're not required to observe those days. Well, but some Jews would ask the question, but what if we would like to still do it in our own homes? That on the Sabbath, we would not work on that day. We would make it a day of meditation of God, and much like the people of the Old Testament, but we will not make it a binding practice. But is it possible that we could continue as Jews because of the tradition that is built up within this in our whole history of our people? Can we continue to, in some way at least, remember those meanings of our heritage? And the answer the apostles came was, yes. But it needs to be done as a private thing. It needs to be done on an individual level. And it's not a matter of requirement. It's a matter of liberty. It's a matter of personal, individual choice. Because as far as God is concerned, the Sabbath day is no longer a holy day, as God once made it to be. You remember that in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, the Fourth Commandment, remember the Sabbath day to what? To keep it holy. Sabbath was a holy day in the Old Testament times. Once the church came over into the New Testament and we were no longer under that law, there was the question in the minds of the people, what do we do as we observe that? Or should we observe that? And if the Gentile becomes a Christian, is he required to observe this? Is he required to be circumcised and keep the other aspects of the Old Testament law? And the answer was no. It's not required. Don't bind it on him. But on the other hand, if the Jew wanted to observe some of these things, the Gentile was not to bind it on him. So there was some liberty that was possible. And the attitude of love for one another. The Apostle Paul, when he's writing in the Galatian letter, he said concerning the law of Moses, he said, "Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor." He goes on to talk about that, you know, that we are children of God by faith, and as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And he says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, we're all one in Christ Jesus." So the issue that they had to confront in those first century times was nothing to do with Christmas, the birth of Jesus. That had not even come up. They were concerned about the Old Testament being still a binding law and affecting their fellowship with one another as fellow Christians in the body of Christ. In Galatians 5 and verse 1, he said, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." In Galatians 4 and verse 10, he said, "You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you." In other words, there were some of them that were taking those practices and bringing them in as holy days under Christ. And he's trying to explain to them, this isn't what we should be doing as Christians. We need to understand that that old law has been done away and we are under the law of Christ. And those days, the Sabbath and the Passover and the Pentecost and all of those days and seasons, those don't apply in the same way to our lives as Christians as they once did under the Old Covenant with the Jews. So he actually says, "I'm concerned about you when you start making this a holy day." When we ask the question then, is Christmas a holy day? We need to be reminding ourselves, no, it's not. It's not a holy day. It's not a day that's any different from other days of the year and should not be made into such in our thoughts of our life as Christians. But does that mean that we cannot on that day be thankful of the birth of Jesus and be joyful of the birth of Jesus? No. It doesn't mean that we cannot be joyful of that day. The first day of the week, Sunday, is not a holy day. And we need to also remind ourselves of that. That as we come together on the first day of the week, that does not make the first day of the week a holy day. In the way that I'm saying, yes, it's a day that we set aside to come together to worship. And we break bread on the first day of the week. We remember the death of Jesus. We're told that on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. And in 1 Corinthians, he said, "I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus actually told us then how to remember him. Well, the important thing in all of that is that we go to the Lord and find out what His instructions for us are. But we find in those instructions that the Lord grants us some liberty as matters of personal choice and preference. So how should we take part? in the observances of Christmas. Well, again, in Romans chapter 14, I believe is a passage that maybe better than any other passage fits the circumstances of the observances of Christmas and the questions that we might have about this. You see, he says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 1, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives not thanks. Now he goes on to say, the main thing is, this is a matter of personal judgment. It's not a matter that the Lord legislated these areas for our lives. Whether you observe the day or you don't observe the day, the Lord doesn't care. As long as we don't make it a day of religious observance, of a holy day. But is it a day that we can gather around and we can open the Bible with our children and we can read that story of the birth of Jesus? Absolutely. And when it comes to that, should December the 25th be a day that Christians spend time thinking about the birth of Jesus, along with the opening of presents? Or should it be a day that that subject never comes up in our lives? It's all about opening the presents. And Jesus is forgotten all about in that. We understand it's not as day of his birth. We don't know what the day of his birth was. But as far as the joyful feeling of Jesus coming into the world and being born, that should be something that we think of and remember every day. And if this happens to be a day that helps us remember that, then that's a good thing as far as I'm concerned. In 1 Corinthians, notice that at the end of Romans chapter 14, he says, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. Now, if a person has a feeling that by observing December 25th in association to the birth of Jesus in any shape, form, or fashion would be a violation of my conscience as a Christian, then by all means they should not do it. Do not violate your conscience. But study the Word of God. And I think that we would come to the conclusion that every day can be a day that we can rejoice over the birth of Jesus coming into this world. And we don't have to make it a special day above other days, but we can still be thankful and remember that as part of our day. What Paul is saying is that we need to use our liberties in love for one another, in love for our brother, in consideration of our brother. And that there are sometimes going to be brothers in Christ that one has a conviction of a level here and another is a level here. And they're both trying in their own way to the best to be sincere to honor God in their life. They're doing what they truly believe. And we should not step on that and tear them down in their faith. We should be careful of our own observance around one another to help each other to grow. For example, he says, "For us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone possesses this knowledge. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as being sacrificed to a god. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled." He's saying we need to be careful around one another that we don't cause a person to trip up and offend in their own belief and cause them to stumble. So we need to be considerate of that when it comes to these kind of things in our lives. It's a personal choice. It's a personal decision that each one of us can make. He said, "Food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak." They had people in those days that had grown up living under the Old Testament law that clean food and unclean food, you could not eat pork, you could not eat certain types of meat and food. They also had people coming in out of the Gentiles that they would go into the idol temple and the meat would be worshipped to the idol. And for them to eat that food would be wrong in their mind because it had been devoted to an idol. They're trying to get free from that and live for Christ. So even though the food itself is not the issue is, does it somehow tie you in with something that you shouldn't be involved as a Christian and cause you to sin against your own set of convictions that you are trying to get right and be honoring to God in your life? So it might be different one person to another when it comes to that. In Matthew 15, Jesus addressed the question of, when do traditions become wrong in the eyes of God? And the question that came up originally was, why don't your disciples wash hands when they eat? To the Jews, that was a big ceremony to wash your hands, to cleanse yourself before they eat. And they noticed that Jesus' disciples didn't seem to be doing that. They came to Jesus and asked about it. And he said, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. And yet they had found a way to get around that. They had found a way to avoid actually helping their parents in their older years by saying, this money, I can't give it to my parents. I've already dedicated that to God. Sorry. It was a clever excuse to get around their responsibility to their parents. Jesus saw through it. And he said, here, you're concerned about washing hands. What about taking care of your parents? You're going to tell me that it's more important whether we wash your hands before you eat. God never said anything about that. He did tell us to take care of our parents. And you have found a way to conveniently avoid that responsibility. But all you can think about is whether or not we're going to wash our hands before we eat. So he says here that by this, you're taking a tradition and you're binding it and you're making it null, the Word of God. Well, we want to be very careful when it comes to something like the observance of Christmas. That is a tradition originated with men, not with God, that we don't take that and make it into a religious observance that is expected to abide upon everyone. That everyone, all right, we're all going to do this together. We're all going to have this Christmas service together. But God never said that. God never instructed us. It's a matter of personal liberty, not a matter of religious observance. Now in Philippians 4 and verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, does that mean that this time of year we can rejoice over the birth of Jesus? Yes, I believe. Obviously, the answer to that is yes. But we need to be careful and we need to be respectful of one another. We need to not make that into something that the Lord did not approve of, and yet it can end up being a good thing. What is the important thing? That we honor Christ. That Jesus Christ is the center of our lives, in our homes, and in our lives daily. Not just a weekly, once a year, or once a week, or once a month, or once a quarter. Honoring Jesus and remembering what He has done. That needs to be something that is daily in our lives. What our lives are about. And it may not always be something that we have borrowed out of man's ways. We can make that into a way of our own with our children. We might be getting up on December the 25th and we're getting ready to open our presents. And sometimes we say, well, kids, let's just stop for a minute and let me read you this story about Jesus. And that is why we go to worship every week. That's why we pray every day at our table. We are committed to Him. And we're so thankful that He came in the world and was born. And He lived and He died for our sins. And He's coming again someday. Our lives are not just about opening presents. Our lives are about living for Christ day, every day of every year, devoting ourselves to Him. Well, thank you this morning for your attention. And I would encourage you to study your Bible. Study and come to a conclusion of your own that is right for you. You know, we live in a day and time today that unfortunately we have a lot of political correctness that is going on. And many people are saying, well, you shouldn't say Christmas. You should say the holiday season. You should say something different. Because, why is that? Because they would like to get rid of the whole thing. Where do we want to come down on the side of that? Think about that. And not every time that we go in and we are around people that are maybe mistaken in some of their understanding, we still want to be respectful and considerate of their beliefs and their thoughts. That, I don't know about you, but I want to let people know I believe in Jesus. When people bring up about Christmas or this time of year, I want to let it be known that I am a believer. I am one of those who believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not one that is against that practice. I am for Him in my life. And I want people to understand that, to let that be known. If you're here today and not a Christian, we invite you this morning to come forward, commit your life to Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, to be become a fully converted person to following Him daily in our lives, that someday we can spend eternity with Him. If you're here and subject to that invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
When the Savior